This call is being recorded.
Then let's get started. So first of all, we need a scribe. Is anyone volunteering? Doesn't look like so. Okay, public is, I guess. We have a nice emoticon or whatever. So thanks a lot, public, for scribing. I think you are the most active scribe, so you should get a break at some point. But much appreciated. So before we really dive into stuff, I think we should briefly discuss on how we handle the telecons over the holidays. Like the next one, I think, will be on December 25th. Yeah, in 2 weeks. That's December 25th. So I guess no one would like to have a telecon on that day. So I guess we cancel that one. The one after, according to the normal schedule, would be January 8th. So we can have that one or cancel that one too, and then start again on January 22nd or start on January 15th. Like, I think everything is... it's fine from my side. December 25th does not work for me. January 1st doesn't work much better. So I would suggest we either restart the telecons on January 8th, 15th, or 22nd. Is anyone out on January 8th? Or would anyone prefer to like start later again, like January 15th or 22nd, to have a bit of like a bit more holidays? Okay, public says on IRC that anything from January 8th works for him. And everyone else is silent. So could everyone just give me a preference? Or do the plus ones mean everyone wants January 8th?
Yeah, for me it means January 8th.
Okay.
The sooner the better. It's going to be a big break anyway.
Okay. Okay, since everyone is really quiet today, let's just make a proposal and then resolve that. Please vote on IRC if you're fine with resuming the telecons on January 8th. Right. And that's resolved. The next topic on the agenda is a follow-up on the action items. So there were two of them. First one was one on me. To update the homepage so that we render those markdown files, like the use case documents, etc., that we have. I replied to the meeting invitation yesterday. And in case you haven't seen it yet, I just pasted the link in IRC where you can see one of those use case documents rendered on our homepage. If you have any feedback, I would more than appreciate that. The thing that is currently still completely missing is like links between those files and kind of like a table of contents. That's like we can discuss that in the next. we can discuss that in the next action item, which was in Tomáš. But I think in general, this should give us a much easier way to quickly update stuff and document stuff, and without going through the pain to really write like spec language and really like write it formally. So my hope is that this will result in some documentation which is useful to other people, and would also mean that other people can understand the current state much better than, you know, the current situation where they have to dig through the mailing list, meeting minutes, and the issues on GitHub.
Yeah, I agree. So I was going to mention a table of contents. Other than that, it will be very good to actually push something to be visible. Currently, like we were saying last time at the days cases, we won't get much feedback until they publish. So even if they're not perfect, I think we should close the loop, right? So then we can hopefully get some feedback and improve, and yeah, that's it.
Exactly. So the second action item was on Tomáš to come up with a rough structure and how we want to like structure the whole documentation. Tomáš, do you have an update on that one?
Yeah, I've given it some thought, and it's probably best to look at some other good examples. And I think a very comprehensive is a documentation for Swagger. And it's actually quite difficult to find it. I mean, there's Swagger, there's the Open API, and there's number of versions and whatnot. So I'm posting a link to what I have in mind, sort of. I may not be a big fan of the layout. I mean, the middle column on this particular page is quite narrow, but it's just, they're just details. I think it's probably it. I mean, there shouldn't be too much to it. I don't know what you guys think. I would start probably with what they have on the left, so the specification and the hierarchy of subtopics, so that we maybe we have more we can make more decisions of when we see how this comes up before we actually start writing anything. The other thought I had was the initial thought, something like collection of snippets, or like, but in the end, when you think about it, this was my conclusion just today. For example, I'm just now implementing templates, so you can do this with a template and that with a template and that with a template, and then what you actually get is just an article that we can put a subpage of such specifications. So in the end, this is what we would probably get anyway. So there you go. This may not be much, but I think it's the Swagger Open API thing. I think it's a good archetype to follow. I don't know. How do you like it?
Okay, so Karl speaking. From my perspective, Swagger in general, this documentation is kind of overwhelming from my perspective. There is quite a lot of stuff around, but I think more or less I agree with you, Thomas, that we shall proceed in that direction. Maybe not in that much of details. Maybe we should restructurize it a little bit. But I think this is a quite a good example. Personally, for me, it's quite overwhelming, and I don't feel I could find anything here. But what? So this is something that we should go into that direction, I think.
Well, to be fair, the specification is quite complex because Swagger has been around for a long time, and I guess it's just grown over time anyway. So we wouldn't start with a documentation that overwhelming.
Could you repeat the last sentence? I'm having a connection issues, I think.
I was just saying that the documentation for Swagger is very big because Swagger has been around for a very long time. So when we start from scratch, we wouldn't start with anything that big and not that overwhelming either.
True that. I agree. Yeah, I can hear you, Marcus.
Okay, cool. I just lost my connection. Yeah. Go ahead.
I would like, because I had one question for you, Marcus, regarding your work. How these use cases are related to the Hydra CG page, maybe the other way. Does updating the markdown file in the GitHub will update the page?
Yeah, it will update it automatically, yes.
Okay. I was just wondering because maybe we shall update the use cases sooner or later with what's already available in the reference Hydra client. I mean, the examples there.
Yeah, we definitely should, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. This is just sooner or later we'll need to do this. I think it should happen sooner than later.
Yeah.
So the part where I dropped off was when Tomáš was talking about the Swagger docs. Did you talk about anything more concrete than that, or?
So, yeah, having shared the link to the Swagger, I don't know if you got the part, but I would suggest starting by brainstorming just the outline. So what we have in the left-hand column there, like a table of contents, to see what topics we want to cover and in what detail. So like have, mm-hmm. I guess, two or three level tops. And then, probably do some kind of backlog of how we want to implement, write them.
Mm-hmm. So process-wise, will you create a pull request which starts that, or how do we address it?
That's actually, I had this in mind. Yeah, so I'd start just a bullet point list in a drafts folder somewhere. So this would be the table of contents, and we can take it from there.
Okay, that sounds great. It's much easier to discuss something something concrete than trying to do it in the abstract. Okay. Is there anything else we should discuss about those two action items? Or any feedback or any changes you would like to see to the markdown rendering, for instance?
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
About the documentation stuff. So is this about the API or Hydra specification documentation, or is it also about the example documentation? Because what we were currently working on is having HTML interfaces to the API description, and we also want to have something like example data and also like an execute button to really try the examples and so on. And we hope to do this all describing in triples, adding some triples to the Hydra API description. And is this also the plan? Or sorry maybe for the question, maybe it sounds stupid in your context, but I didn't join the calls and then in the pros and so on. So, but maybe you can give me a short summary what really was or some context in to that.
So I think it's kind of a combination of what you said. It's first of all, we have been, or mostly I have been, very bad with updating the specification. So all or a lot of knowledge is currently just either in some GitHub issues or in some threads on the mailing list or just in our heads. So one thing we should get better at, and I think we can get better at with this by reducing the friction to do so, is to document the decisions we make and document them with examples, with concrete examples, so that they are easy to understand and follow along, so that as soon as people want to start using Hydra, they have kind of examples and guidances and a bit of kind of like a tutorial on how to get started. The other effort, which is kind of going on in parallel, is all the amazing work that Carol has been doing with the reference client implementation. So in a lot of cases, we should actually be able to write the snippets, we will be able to write snippets which show the payload on the wire, but we will also be able to write JavaScript, TypeScript snippets, which show how someone can interact with such an API from the client's perspective. And we can do that by leveraging the Heracles reference client. I don't know, how far we want to push this at this stage, like whether we really want to invest into having kind of executable documentation. That would obviously be very nice. But I think it's a nice to have, not really a necessity at this point, unless someone obviously volunteers for that. And I'm like really happy to see that happening, but I wouldn't push hard for that at the moment. So I think the important aspect is getting the decisions we make properly documented, have examples so that we can reference to them, and drive the implementation of the reference clients by doing so, and then document how
what I've seen, for example, this Vega documentation, it's all about Markdown and also the other stuff. Is there the idea should it be converted to triples, or you want to keep them separate in the HTML document, or HTML document embedded as Markdown, or what's the idea there?
I'm not sure I follow, like, which document, like, what do you mean with Markdown?
Before, I lost the connection also in the middle, so hopefully I haven't lost too much. So there was a pointing to the Swag.io describing parameters, for example, and there everything is written down, or it's JAML documentation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the idea that is converted to triples, we have, for example, okay, input, output, and so on, will there be properties to describe some example data and so on? Is that the idea to extend the ontology all in that point?
No, like the Swagger stuff is completely independent. It's Tomas just referenced that as an example. So just look at the left-hand navigation, and this is kind of the structure for our documentation that he had in mind, roughly. But we will not work on converting Swagger to Hydra or vice versa, if that's what you're
Not really. It's more about will that information then for the examples also I haven't seen it. I've seen on this document, for example, this is a different blocks, and I'm not sure. I think it's Markdown, and so is there also the idea that maybe there will be a description about the request itself, so describing this input, that method is used, and so on as triples.
Not at the moment. Like, I would really like to keep the friction as low as possible, so that, you know, the barrier to contribute something is as low as possible.
Okay. So maybe we will do something, and then in that area. So if somebody is also interested, get in touch with me. Maybe we can convert it if it's interesting for the Hydro group to the Hydro namespace, but we have also a namespace we want to use for some other stuff. We want to extend the Hydro description.
So do you already have something that we could have a look at, or?
Yeah, so I didn't want to take over now the discussion and the issue. So if all issues are done, maybe I can show a little bit, but this is not about documentation stuff. I can show other stuff which we're working on maybe.
Like, we are done with the official agenda, unless someone else has something like more pressing or that we should discuss first. Like, I'm fine with going into that.
Well, just a quick, while we're at the rendering of the use case, so the link that Berkey also put, they just have one note. I mean not necessarily like the black background, but I would just have the .md removed from the whatever URLs we have. That's it. I mean, just a nitpick. Other than that, well, of course the contents are up for discussion, but that's a separate topic for each one of them, right? So I just had this to say. That's it.
It's why would you like to see that .md to be gone?
Implementation detail. It's like, you know, for the rendering, it's irrelevant whether it's Markdown or anything else. It's just, I don't know, strikes me as odd.
So the reason it's there is mostly so that I can relatively easily do an Apache rewrite based on the file extension to render it. They are rendered at runtime, so on the fly. That's why it's much easier this way. But if there is a good reason, I can also remove them. It's just a bit more difficult to implement it then.
Mm. Okay, no strong opinion.
Okay, then I will choose the lazy route and keep it as is for the time being. Is there Carol?
You're on the queue. Yeah, I was just wondering because, you know, we've got this reference client and the last pull request, I hope it will be merged very, very soon, but our reference current is already outside of the Hydra spec boundaries. So I was wondering, what shall we do with this?
What specifically is outside?
The current implementation presented on the pull request is using this hypothetical member template.
Okay, so you're saying we should update the documentation for the the specification for that, or just the Hydrocon vocabulary, or
generally speaking, yes, because having a reference client that is outside of the specification is somehow weird. But So I think we shall either add just the current implementation to what a specification allows, or we should do the opposite. So, but I think it's your decision, Marcus.
In an ideal world, we should do that. Like, the specification currently has a big disclaimer at the very beginning that it is incomplete, missing, and outdated. So I wouldn't worry too much about that, to be honest. But we can at least update the vocabulary. That's relatively straightforward, so we should definitely do that. If someone wants to send a pull request for the specification itself, we can also merge that one without issues. But I personally wouldn't worry too much about that, to be honest.
Okay, I'll try to craft a pull request for the spec then.
Okay.
I like cling situation, so.
Yeah, I completely agree, but this, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate
it. Okay, so if it is enough to have this in the vocabulary, so I think it's good enough for now.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, public, since you're asking, Carol, would you like to have an action item on you for a pull request, or will you just do it if you get to it and don't have it written down formally?
No, you can write it down.
Okay, then I will create an action item. Is there anything else we should discuss before we talk about Birgit's work? Or anything that we should be aware of, or that anyone would like to share? If not, let's give Birgit the floor or the stage to tell us a bit more about the work he has been doing.
So we were working on something which we renamed now to HydraBox. It's called HydraView. Still here, we started with HydraView, but we will rename it because I think there's a property called view for pagination. So that's where we will rename it to HydraBox. And the basic idea is that besides the Hydra description itself, we also point to the code, which is basically the operation itself. So we have one example which is using Wikidata. And I just saw it's the live version is a little bit outdated, so but maybe I can also show you this. So here you see this is HTML rendering with Triffid. This is our default linked data server for rendering content negotiation and so on. We will make nicer interfaces. That is our idea, to have really nice interfaces here, examples and so on, for developers as a starting point. And also then what you maybe can see here is that we have some, how they call the triple, maybe easier in this document. Yeah, we say we point to a Spark request. So we have this is now an example namespace, so we're still in progress with this project. We have something here like example org HV for either of you code. And that is the idea that we have then a description of the code, and we even want to support different kinds of code. So we say, okay, here we have a Sparkle query. The Sparkle query is a construct query, so it can generate also an output. This Sparkle query also uses ES6 templates, so you can map variables or the objects of the input to variables. The mapping is done using the same ontology, or even it's basically a reverse templating of the IRI template. So we have, for example, the parameters from and to. And so also we have sent the variables from and to in the Sparkle query. And then we construct, so we build the Sparkle query with values inside, and then it returns the result of the Sparkle query. So I think I should have also
could we perhaps like just take a short step back and like what is the overall thing that you're thinking? What is the overall thing that you're building here? Like, is it a web app or like?
So I'm not sure much I can say. So it will be later will be open data, statistic data, and so there will be a lot of different people who want to consume the data. So there will be the people who want the raw linked data. Then there will be people who want maybe just a web interface, REST service, which don't know even about linked data. Mm-hmm. And then we have even the interface, what I said, then we have the charts and so on, which will render the data. So that's a use case we have, but we want to make it already very generic. We want to reuse the project.
And I see. Do you implement? Sorry to interrupt you. Do you implement both the client, like a couple of clients?
So the server side. Yeah, I have. So I upgraded my Hydra Fetch client, which is using RDFX and simple RDF. It's in the develop branch. That is our client, but most work is currently done in the back end. So I shared also that example with from 2010, so you can change the value here, so you can try a little bit how it works. Like I said, it's not example. The live example is not fully Hydra following the specification, but the GitHub code should already be totally valid Hydra code. And also what you maybe also see here, then we have the variables, the mapping in the API description. So maybe I share link with the line. So this is where I said we mapped the variables really back to from the triples back to variables, and we use the same template or the IRI mapping also for the template string. What we also have here is we have a definition of the return frame for JSON-LD, because we want to provide content negotiation with JSON-LD, but with framing, so application JSON only, and then it should be very readable for a web developer. So we don't want to the web developers who don't think about or don't even want to know about linked data, they should also access it very easily in the same way. So that's why we define the return frame, and then we can just present them classical JSON, but they will also have the context header then. And then they could even extend it again to linked data if they want. I think that example doesn't contain it, but we even also had something like that for CSV on the web. So we even allow content negotiation to download CSV files. And there we basically have a serializer for CSV on the web. It's very basic right now, but that we also want to improve that feature. We have really everything inside the CSV. Yeah, so that's in general what we were working on. So that's why for us is important to have this example data, input, output, and so on. We have the additional properties, like I showed, where we really point to the actual implementation of the operation. We have the property for the frame and for the CSV on the web context and for that variable mapping, which is used for the code. So like I said, if somebody is interested in it, we like to work together with other people and maybe work on something. Maybe if it's interesting for the Hydro group itself, we would even merge it to the official namespace. So this is not really important for us. We started a little bit to make progress, and the namespace, yeah, like you see, we didn't care that much till now. It's still prototype.
The context in which you mentioned this was when we were talking about our documentation. I kind of miss the link a bit, to be honest.
So
before you said something about like you have executable documentation, etc.
We would like to have it. We don't have it now.
Oh, okay. Then I got it. I see.
And that's why I asked for the triples, because if the plan to define triples, we would use them, but we will just define additional properties then if it's not now on the agenda to define them.
Got it. Okay.
And then we want to make automatically what you see already is this basic HTML rendering there. We really like to have interactive documentation where people can really try the examples.
Yeah, very cool stuff. Is there something that causes pains or troubles or is missing from Hydra that we should fix or improve?
So something in Hydra, so I was quite happy. You mentioned it before, the documentation, especially with the templates, was a little bit difficult. But we figured it out at the end. One other thing, what I have now in mind is the variable mapping. That was, or maybe we could improve this in the future, because as I said, we use ES6 templates. And so there we connect already the values of the parameters we get, then we just can define a literal and then we can extend it to a named node. But we thought maybe it would make sense to have something like I write templates for variables, so you can make named nodes, or if it's for literals, maybe to have a type, because maybe you want to have a number, and then it would, then maybe the mapping could automatically convert the literal to a number and so on. That were some stuff which we saw, but we don't know the best way now to solve it. We did it in the template. It was possible to do it in the templates, but maybe it would be nicer to have already really the named nodes that the mapping could really make closer to the final result, which we expect from the IR template.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the IRIP template. It's actually the topic that we discussed in the last Telecon, and which we'll likely tackle next, I guess. So that's currently heavily underspecified, I would say. So we should get a bit better in that regard, hopefully soon.
And also, I hope to join also in the future to the calls, because now before it was I thought it can handle it, but it was a little bit too much because of the office hours. But in the future, this should no longer be a problem. So I also want to participate a little bit more here again.
Cool, that's great to hear, because you apparently spend lots of time working on and with Hydra. So that's really, really great.
And also what you saw, as I told you, it's the prototype. So maybe I can show a little bit more really when we have, we make more progress, and then we also write the documentation, but we really we change too much during the development. So we don't have a good no documentation at all right now, but we also want to improve that.
Yeah, documentation is always a pain point. Okay, but cool. Thank you very much for sharing this. I think you'll need a bit more time to digest it and like read a bit more the code that you referenced, but it looks very interesting.
Maybe something else which I also was thinking of. I plan to use Hydra not only on HTTP. And so, because I was thinking really to make it if I have like microservices, but if I have it on a single device that is can simply change it to make like in-memory calls or something like that. And also I was thinking about maybe a Hydra operation could be even a human task for workflows, for example. So that's also why thinking of the input and output of examples, maybe the triples could be already defined in a way that it could be like a input for a workflow task or something like that. And then the operation can just take that input that is somehow a connection from the input, the operation, and where to store the output maybe also, I don't know exactly now. It's just an idea I have in mind, and to use Hydra for really for all actions I can think of. So not only the HTTP actions, also of human actions, and also different protocols. If, like I said, in memory, because I don't want to have the overhead of HTTP.
Right.
So this is what we want to try with simple RDF. So this is also why our client is based on it. So we will use the same, then we just replace the fetch implementation. So we already have the possibility we created a proto-fetch. So basically you can register different fetch handlers for each protocol. So you can register HTTP, HTTPS with the default fetch, and then you for memory or whatever, there could be a different fetch implementation, which is then just basically a promise call or something like that.
Yeah, we had some discussions about kind of abstracting the protocol away quite a while ago, but we kind of put that on hold till we figure out HTTP first.
Yeah, sure, I can understand it. I just want to say what maybe we have in mind, what we maybe will do in the future. And if other people are interested, like I said, maybe we can just have together a look on it, even outside of that group, if it would be out of scope now.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's just a matter of prioritization and keeping the work at least somewhat focused to make some progress.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Anything else we should discuss, or anyone wants to comment on what Birgit just showed us?
I was just curious, by looking at the JSON, the variables, so the link that you pointed to the line,
mm-hmm.
how does this relate to the IRI template resource?
Maybe you should also look in the same folder. There's the Sparkle template.
Okay, I'm looking.
This is the Sparkle template, and there we use again these variables. So the Sparkle template, like I said, it's an ES6 string basically, and there we have from and to. And because we really convert the IRI, what is given in the IRI template, we just make a subject a blank node, use all the property as a predicate, and we map the values to subjects. So at the end, we will have a graph for the input of the IRI template, because we want to handle the GET request like a POST or PUT request. We want to handle everything the same. You basically have an input, which is a graph, and you have a graph as an output. And for that code, for the Sparkle code, we need to map them back then from the property to the variable, and that's why we have it twice there. What is is it now clear or?
I think so.
Yeah, maybe it should be part of the code itself. We have to think about it.
No, it's clearer with what you said about this the template, the Sparkle template. Cool.
Is there, like, Bergy is probably, is there, like, did you have a chance to look at Heracles, like the reference client that mostly Carol wrote?
I had a look at it. First of all, I'm not so the TypeScript fan, though, sorry to say, but and also I had already my simple RDF client, and we are even working on, like I said, we have here the Sparkle code. We also want to make something for JavaScript, and there we use then a simple RDF object with get and post methods. So we just really map the HTTP methods to methods of the simple RDF object, and that works also very well what I said with calling in memory. And So that's why we said, okay, I looked at the client, and I think it would be difficult to really add that feature with hand forwarding the simple RDF objects, or even, let's say, replacing the actual content which is sent for the request, for the request and the response with simple RDF objects. That's why we said we continue with this Hydra Fetch client, which I wrote already a while ago. It's really just an update of old code I wrote.
Yeah, I wasn't suggesting that you should switch or anything. It was more like, since you've worked on this for quite a while already, you may have some opinions or maybe some ideas on how to improve it or what to look out for or what to avoid, etc.
Sure, I will have a look in the future, because we will try this backend with different clients. Until now, no, we didn't have time to try it with different clients.
Okay, so we are almost out of time, but still have a few minutes. So if there is anything else someone would like to discuss.
Just a quick question. Mm-hmm. Because this is going to be a bigger break, any specific plans for us? From me, I was thinking about grabbing next use case. I don't know, I think search was quite interesting.
It like I mean it would be great to make progress on Hieroclast while we have the breaks.
Okay.
And we can also have some discussions about other stuff like on GitHub or on mailing list.
Okay, so I won't hesitate to grab another use case.
Yeah, that would be great. And maybe if Tomasz finds some time, we could also start discussing the structure of the documentation and maybe start with that one too.
Yeah, sure. I think, like we're saying, I think I would try to push the iWrite templates discussion a little bit.
Okay, that sounds great too, yeah. Awesome. So if there isn't anything else, I think it's a bit early still, but happy holidays to everyone and speak to you next year.
Happy holidays, Dan. Cheers.
Thanks, happy holidays.
Yeah. Bye-bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye, guys.